what kind of preparations are you making? What's going into this big transition here?
The first thing we are having to do is to understand the old maximum of plan your work and work your plan. I'm a big believer that you shouldn't do things until you have a clear plan of what needs to be done and how you need to get it done. So the first few days were spent really designing the process of transition itself. We built a team, and are still building that team, in fact, of many volunteers. Most of them are business leaders, executives, people who perhaps have some interaction with state government and who know areas of state government that I may not be that familiar with. And they're doing some initial background work just to understand the various agencies, their missions, their personnel, their budget, what they do and why they do it. Once that process is completed, these teams will assemble for me a backgrounder that will help prepare me for the time when I actually sit down with agency directors. There's no use to waste my time or their time in a lot of endless courting methods of getting to know one another. In many cases, I already know the agency heads, having been in state government now for 3 years. But just to establish that our purpose here is mission-driven, not driven by politics or personality. Then we're going to go back and start looking at, and we already are, of course, looking at our structure in the governor's office, how the organization chart is going to look, what we're going to do, what kind of duties, and what kind of people that we need in the key positions, whether it's the executive positions or the support positions. We want to find out of the people who are in the existing operation, who we want, who wants to be there, and how we can best integrate them into what is certainly going to be a new administration with a new direction and new goals.
Mm-hmm. I understand you met with Governor Tucker last week. Can you explain a little of what was discussed there?
Well, it wouldn't be appropriate to get into the details of our conversation, certainly, but both of us, I believe, accurately characterized the meeting as very cordial and, most importantly, very productive. We talked about simply the big issues that face state government coming up in the next few months. We also talked about the methods of how we actually make this transition, not so much the official sorts of things, but how can our staffs interrelate at this point, how can our transition staff and his transition staff coordinate so that we're getting the best information we can get and so that they're being able to efficiently provide that without being bogged down, because we recognize that they're in the business in many cases of doing their own sorts of shutdown and preparation.
How is Governor Tucker handling this step down of power?
I think the whole state is seeing he's handling it with a great sense of dignity and grace. I don't know how does one handle it. I don't know. I hope I never have to face it. I'm sorry he does. But as anyone can deal with something like this, I think he has to be given credit that he has done it in a statesmanlike manner and has not screamed and blamed and pointed fingers. And I think that speaks well of him and well of the manner in which he's trying to serve the state in his final days of office.
I understand you plan to replace several of Tucker's appointments, and I was wondering who those people are and what specifically and why they're going to be replaced.
Well, there's been no decision whatsoever on any replacements. In fact, I've not said that I would replace anybody. I think it's certainly almost expected that when an administration changes, even from Democrat to Democrat, as it did with Bill Clinton to Jim Guy Tucker, there were many changes. Certainly there's more going on here in that it is a change from a Democrat to a Republican. It's not that everybody's going to be looking for work on the day after I'm sworn in. I think some people are going to decide long before the swearing in that they just simply are not comfortable serving a conservative or a Republican or me personally. I mean, I don't know. I would just assume that out of that many agencies, you're going to see some of that. There may be some with whom I feel uncomfortable, but I don't have any names because I haven't had the process yet even completed of sitting down with these agency heads to explore. What are your goals? How do you feel you can work with me? And is that a problem? So we're way away, I think, from any of those decisions, and I cannot imagine the circumstances which would see some immediate wholesale departure of many of the people in state government. The other factor that's always going to be there for me is I want to have somebody who can walk into a job, who can do a good job before we ever think about taking somebody out. So it's not enough to say, I'm not sure this person can work with me, let's get them out. It's because this person has obviously demonstrated inability or unwillingness to work with me, let's find someone who can do those things.
How soon do you think you're going to be ready to fully take the position of governor?
Well, I think I better be fully prepared to do it on the day I'm sworn in, because that's when the responsibility falls in my lap. But the key to that is surrounding yourself with people who know more than you do, which I think is the mark of any leader. It's a very, very foolish man who thinks he does or even can know everything to function in any kind of job that involves more than one task. I think it's a very wise person who recognizes that while he or she may have certain talents, those talents are limited. And the smart person is the one who finds people who are strong in areas where he or she is weak. And that's my whole purpose, and what I plan to do is to look for folks who are actually smarter than I am in areas where it's going to take me a while to come up to speed.
I know this is pretty early, but do you have any kind of legislation or anything along those lines that you hope to accomplish?
Well, there's no doubt that there are things that not only are in my mind, but are in my heart. And I would hope that certainly by the legislative time that those are well-defined and clearly spelled out. But I think short of taking office, it may be a little presumptuous for me to say, okay, here's my legislative agenda. Certainly there will be one. And I would hope that I can begin speaking very openly and clearly on some of the things that I would like to see happen in Arkansas. I think they're the kind of things that are shared by many people that, out there in the public. That's where I've spent my life. I've listened to those concerns, and bringing that sort of hometown common sense to government is what's been my goal from the very beginning of getting into public office. But as far as saying, okay, here's my plan, it'd probably preempt my own announcement to do that. And then again, I think the timing is probably better served later.
Big fear from a lot of people is just that because of your religious background, you're going to bring a lot of religion in. And you've proven yourself, I'd say, to be pretty mainstream during your lieutenant governorship because you haven't done anything that people would consider radical or anything. Any kind of plans to go any more to the right or bring in any kind of religious type any kind of programs or anything at all like that?
Well, for those who are fearful that I'm going to replace the Capitol Dome with a steeple, let me assure them that I think my past 3 years in office have spoken more loudly than anything I would ever say. The point being that I've never hidden the fact that I have some very, very strong and deeply held and firmly rooted Christian beliefs. Do I respect people who don't hold those beliefs? Of course I do. This is America. We're supposed to do that. In fact, it is in all of our best interest to respect others of differing viewpoints. It's always been amazing to me that if a person wants to maybe emphasize his or her own attitudes about virtually anything else that seems to be okay, some people seem extraordinarily uncomfortable if a person says, well, what's really important to my life is relationship to Jesus Christ. And I don't think that should be all that scary. I am what I am. No apologies for it. It's a very important part of what drives my thought and my heart and my attitude. But do I practice it perfectly? Of course I don't. If I did, I'd be Jesus. I wouldn't want to be governor. But I'm not perfect. I make mistakes every day. I'll continue to make them. Being a Christian for me does not mean that I'm better than other people. It means that I've come to grips with the fact that I'm not as good as most people, and I need the grace of God to fill in the gap. It gives me a release where many people are all tensed up when they make a mistake and they feel like, oh my gosh, this mistake is the end of my life. It's going to ruin me. I've already confessed that I'm a mistake maker. I'm already overcome the confrontation with my inadequacies. And I think that's what a true believer does. He accepts himself as he is, full of flaws and faults and everything that really messes us up. And left to myself, my life would be, I'm sure, the total disaster that it on any moment could be. I think instead of making it harder to be in public office, it makes it quite easier, because I don't have to get up every day and try to prove myself to be perfect. I don't have to get up every day and try to decide what I'm going to believe and hope that that's going to be popular with certain people.
Is there anything in particular that Governor Tucker has done during his term that you plan to do differently?
I think it's a little early to say what will be different, because until we actually get down to the office and understand the complexities of the day-to-day decisions, it's real easy to say specifically, well, here's what I'm going to do. But I think you've got to make those decisions and then look back on them and say, here's what turned out to be quite different. And hopefully people will be a little bit patient and give me the benefit of the doubt over these next few early months.
What are your long-term political aspirations? Would you mind commenting on maybe what your eventual dreams are?
Well, I think I couldn't tell. I mean, I could tell you a week ago that I was absolutely headed toward the United States Senate. I thought that's where things were headed. It looked like it was all in place, and suddenly the world shifted. Literally turned upside down, then right side out, and every which way. And because of that, I think, again, my main and only goal at this point is to move into the governor's office in such a way that brings calm and peace, restores a sense of trust to the people of Arkansas about the government and their governor. And if I can do that job and then move forward with some ideas that help our state, that make life better for families struggling out there to put the food on the table and get their kids through school, then we start looking at whether I've even earned the right to ask the people of Arkansas for some other position. Maybe governor, maybe senator. Certainly I don't know. But it may be that I just ask them for permission to exit before they run me out. That's always the possibility. Nobody has a guarantee that one will be successful. All I can guarantee is that I'm going to give it my best shot, and I'm going to depend upon a lot of people around this state to work with me and be patient, supportive, and give me their ideas.
Okay. I've only got a couple more questions, but feel free to cut me off if you need to run to something. Okay. Well, with another Whitewater trial on the way, this is obviously, I guess you could say, probably damaging the reputation of our state. What kind of impact do you think this is having on the state?
More than anything, Whitewater has had an emotional impact on the state. I think in the beginning it was shock. In the stages it became almost a sense of just frustration that it never ended. Then I think the verdict in these recent trials has given it a whole new dimension. And I don't know that it's an appreciation or even an attitude of, well, I guess it was necessary. I don't think that. I think it's more of, boy, this has been a bad deal, and we hope it gets over with soon. We hope there's no more. I think we have to start focusing on what happened 10 years ago, but again, as citizens, to focus on what's going to happen in the next 10 years. These kinds of things are extraordinarily painful. I hate it. I mean, anybody who thinks I've enjoyed all of this process has got to be absolutely certifiably insane with an IQ of just barely above plant life. I'm an Arkansan. I love this state. I love its people. I think we have a wonderful culture, and I want to spend the rest of my life here. So if something happens which injures my state, it injures me. That's not something pleasurable. But what I can also add is that sometimes if there is an infection in your body, it has to be cut out. It has to be taken forth. And sometimes the process is not very pleasant. It's painful. But the end result is healing and strength.
You've really surprised a lot of people by the high road that you've taken during this entire time. I know a year ago when the indictments first came down, I was on vacation in Miami and was eating dinner in a restaurant and saw you up on CNN. And I got people to turn up the volume for me. I was just shocked. I mean, not because of what I expected from you, but just the way politics is today. You expect someone to not be quite as graceful as you've been about the whole situation. Have you got any kind of pressure from the party to use this more to your advantage?
Interestingly, never from the party leadership, never from Washington, nor from Little Rock. They're obviously people, not so much Republican Party people as they are just citizens who are very angry at government and who have written me some rather hostile letters that I should be, you know, crying out for blood. My feeling is, because I'm in politics, I want it to change. It's vicious, it's savage, it's cruel and brutal to the people who get involved. I don't think that's going to breed for us a better political game. I don't think that's going to encourage better political players. So if I end up becoming everything I hope to change, then I won't change it, I'll only perpetuate it. If we who are the the players, if you will, if we aren't willing to rise above these at times silly and petulant kind of partisan snipings where we always take advantage of our opponent's wounds, then it's never going to change. And basically, Michael, I mean, when people say, you know, people are worried about you as being this Christian person, they ought to be relieved in that because I'm that, it never gives me pleasure to see other people in pain. I may have an extraordinary disagreement with somebody, let's say, on abortion, but that does not mean that I want to see anyone suffer or die. I may have a different attitude about how maybe we help a need. That doesn't mean that I'm insensitive to a child who's hungry, or to a mother who's struggling to take care of her children, or to an elderly person who doesn't have enough money for drugs. I mean, good gosh, that's the exact opposite of everything I am. My basic attitude is that I want to treat others like I would want to be treated. I mean, that's the old golden rule right out of the Sermon on the Mount, and I think if we would live that way, whether we're in politics or whether we're in our families, we build a culture of civility that we are lacking right now. And one of the goals that I would like to see is that that we recognize our responsibility personally. I can't control somebody else's mouth. I'd like to sometimes, I really would, but I can't. I can control mine. I can't control another person's attitude. Many people hate me who have never met me. I get letters and I have phone calls and I have people, you know, who will write letters to the editor, and they'll say, Mike Huckabee is, and they'll write all these things out about how I'm this right-wing zealot, and I'm, you know, they have the freedom to say that. This is America, and there's not a thing I can do to stop that, except prove them to be wrong by my actions and spirit. And that's the only way. Writing another letter back like that probably doesn't convince anyone. That's where we have to take it.
Are you surprised to end up as governor?
Oh, absolutely. It obviously was never on the radar screen for me because it was clear that I thought the trial would probably not end in a guilty verdict. And secondly, the governor had said all along that if it did, that he was going to appeal the verdicts and remain in office. So this was simply sort of out of my mind as I was in the middle of the Senate race. And yet when confronted with it, as painful and difficult as it is to work that hard, go that far, and be that close to an office you're seeking, I knew in my heart that I owed the people of Arkansas more than I owed to my own personal political ambitions. And I don't have any disappointment or regret. I mean, there was anxiety or just sort of a disappointment at first about what I couldn't do, but no disappointment about what I now can do as the people's governor. And I really am beginning to increasingly feel a sense of excitement and really optimism about our state because I believe in the people of Arkansas. I mean, they have proven through this whole ordeal they're good folks, and good folks can build a good state.
Just, you may have already answered this, but do we need to go and wrap up here?
If you would.
Okay. What about the financial contributions to your Senate race? You may have already answered that, but what don't become of those?
Well, our process now, of course, we're still getting bills in. We have contractual obligations through the end of the campaign that we're having to either pay out or try to negotiate. And as soon as we can clear all of our responsibilities and obligations, then we're going to give an option to our supporters if they would like for us to refund on a prorated basis the money that is left, if there is any. We don't even know at this point. But if there is a prorated portion of that money, when that money would, in fact, would exceed the cost of processing the request. Or the other options we have are we can give it to the Republican Party. We can just return it to the donors prorated. We can keep it in a federal account for a future election and designate it that way. We'll let the donors themselves decide. It should be their decision, not mine, and that's what we'll do. It's what I said I'd do all along, and I'm certainly not going to do anything other than that.
Is your family going to move to the governor's mansion?
Well, we will. We don't know exactly when. I mean, obviously, it'll be sometime in July, but we haven't even thought a lot about even how does one go about doing that, and so by now that's sort of on the back burner, and on the front burner is getting government pulled together again.
Right. Are your kids now out of the house yet, or I know they're getting older?
Only one. We've got a son in college who's at Ouachita Baptist University. I've got another son who will be a junior in high school this coming year, and a daughter who will be in the ninth grade.
Are they going to transfer to the Little Lake public schools?
That's our intention. Our kids have always been in public schools. We're going to do what's best for our kids educationally, but we found that, you know, we've been able to keep our kids in public schools from all the way to first through the 12th grade, and that's our first option. Frankly, financially, it's probably our only option, so we'll probably pursue that, and we look forward to being a part of the community.